Track WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively still in Parkville. We're at Pappas, and man, I'm getting crushed here because I ordered some food and I didn't eat it. And now it's in the bag, and a guy behind me's got a crab cake. And my wife, I thought about when my wife went to the Pappas up in Cockeysville with her whole office, and they don't really have an office anymore. They're remote. So they all get together once a month, pretend to work, and have lunch. And they went to Pappas, and were like eight of them. I said, what'd you get? She's like, we all got the same thing, crab cakes. And I'm like, you know, and that's kind of like the toughest thing is you come to a place like this. I got the chicken Milanese that's on special.
Sure, it's good.
I had two bites of it. It's so good that I don't even want to be doing this with you right now. I got spinach in my teeth. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We've given some. We've had some winners here. 50th anniversary. Got some Raven scratch-offs. We also are brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Buy two, get two free. 0% financing for 5 years. And Jiffy Lube Multi-Care right around the corner. We're on Taylor Avenue right here between Paring and Lock Raven. I go to the Dundalk location. John Eisenberg is our guest. The book is Rocket. Men, this is my copy. You can't have it because it's autographed to me. I've given my copy of Purple Rain away to patrons here, giving away tickets. I'm giving away all sorts of stuff around here. I need your advice because listen, I've had Tom Kelso on twice in the last month. I don't know Tom Kelso other than through this. He was a very quiet Maryland Stadium Authority chairman. He's a guy that I must have thought, well, you always think political hack, Republican. How did he get there? I looked him up, ran John Carroll School, was from petroleum business. He runs things for 8 years, and he comes on the air after writing these heartfelt pieces in the Banner.
Him.
Okay, so you're a real journalist on this. I'm attacking this the only way I know how to do it, the way Stedman, you, Jack Gibbons, Molly, anybody, just report truth. Find the truth. Ask good questions. Follow up with good questions. Verify. You know, come on now. You know, Mark Hyman's down there running Maryland. This is the theft and, like, this is people need to get on to this as to what's happening. And I don't want to call Tom a whistleblower. He's a truth teller. He sat in that chair for 8 years in this negotiation, and he's seen this now sort of go awry, and nobody's talking about it. I did 70 minutes with him, and I've never had feedback like I had 4 weeks ago. From the governor in his office straight down to what's going on. The Orioles read all my crap and listen to all this. And then I had Tom on again on Friday. First things first, John, he doesn't get paid. It's an unpaid chairman for 8 years.
Maryland Stadium Authority.
That has all of this incredible intellectual knowledge about all of it. And every part of it is verified what I believe to be true, what Dick Cass told me to be true, what's been reported by Jeff Barker, by you 30 years ago, by John Morgan. Like, stuff that, books that were written about the leases, the parity clause, what was given to one could be given to the other, how the Orioles always could sort of kick out the Ravens and force, you know, Keith Urban into the Inner Harbor instead of a, you know, things that have happened that only Peter would be Peter about that you've witnessed for 30 years of this. I shudder to think that they're going to disband the Maryland Stadium Authority, find $400 million more dollars in the legislature to give to the Angeloses that then goes to the Bisciotti Group on top of all of this. When there's $600 million sitting here than any other municipality, including Oakland, Tampa, all these other, they don't get that. They don't get that quietly. I mean, it's the biggest scam in the world, Steve Bisciotti and the Angelou. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable.
Well, it's
as I sit here in Parkville.
Well, it is
trying to earn a buck.
It is quite a situation. It's a lot of money. It doesn't just happen in other places. I mean, poor Oakland, right? Everything, everyone's gone. The lights are out, and it's all based on having a crappy stadium. And so
I've been to St. Louis to see the Rolling Stones in the old football stadium where they came, went, put Jack Youngblood's name up on the wall,
crappy stadium.
And then just got some Mayflowers and got a guy who's from Missouri to steal the team.
Right. Well, this stuff goes on. I will say this.
John Angelos lives in Nashville, man. You know,
I'm not too worried about it. I will tell you, I'm not too worried about that sort of doomsday scenario. I don't think that's happening. Having observed this for a long time, there's a lot of things I don't like about what's going on. The Maryland Stadium Authority, very solid organization. They don't just run the ballparks here. They run lots of places around
schools,
here.
Schools, yeah.
And they're very solid at what they do. I like their hand on the wheel, to be honest with you. And so if they're taking it off, if this part of this deal is that it's coming off, and I think it is, you know, that's a little worrisome to me. You know, I don't like that so much. I don't think the Orioles, I just have never gone down that road. I don't think they're going anywhere. I just think it's that's just chatter.
Well, then what is the negotiation? Why are we giving away the city to somebody that's never had an idea on the way out?
I think he thinks he does have an idea. I think he thinks that, you know, this is, I'm going to do something for the city that needs to be done. I do believe he thinks that.
And he's incapable of doing that.
He thinks, you know, this is not just, you know, let's do something for the city. And believe me, I am
this
not...
This is take something from the city. This isn't give something to the city.
I know. Well,
come on now. I mean, I'll play that the barrister on the other side all day long because I've witnessed this. You've witnessed this. You've witnessed the deterioration of all of this. And saying, we're going to give the land, we're going to break up the oversight, we're going to give $400 million and the land and the oversight for him to build whatever he wants. And he doesn't even know what he wants to build.
No.
There's no idea.
No, you're right.
And I keep coming back to that. And I beat Tom Kelso up. If you go listen to it at Baltimore Positive this week, he's coming out to Hollywood Casino. We're going to do literally a stadium for dummies. I mean, I'm literally doing an outline for 2 hours to start at the beginning and do a two-hour... Let's start at the beginning on the parity clause on who gets what and why.
Right.
And do they pay rent? You know, like what?
There's a lot of fine print.
Yeah, let's go through that, and let's go through what this $600 million represents, because Tom's been great about that, but I want to do one giant overview, because the notion that they're going to bust up the Maryland Stadium Authority because John Angelos wants that should be an outrage to anyone that has gone down to these stadiums where the toilets have flushed, where they've kept the parking lots right, where they've kept even, to some degree, some of the fees fair against... I've been to New York, I go to Philadelphia, I park cars. Like, I'm not here to be a champion for the Maryland Stadium Authority.
No.
I'm here to be a champion for oversight and not gifting money to civic pirates, you know? That's all. That's where I am, John.
Well,
I'm losing my mind in Parkville. I need a cocktail.
Well, the pirate aspect of it, let me tell you something. In terms of what these teams get, it goes way beyond just with the money that's on the table here. You stop and think about it, what they're living on, you know, the infrastructure that, you know, comes from federal money, state money, city money, the highways that drop the fans at the front door. Okay.
Police that come and protect the people.
There's tons of it. I mean, so they're accustomed to this, all right, of all these things working, these entities working for them. And so in Baltimore in particular, you know, I look at the Baltimore that I came to in the 1980s and the Baltimore now, and a lot of the institutions that were really booming when I got here, I don't know, I've fallen into disrepair. Harbor Place, listen, the BSO barely made it through, and I like the Symphony, and I think they're doing better. You know, lots.
Young Conductor, a lot of mojo for that.
A lot of stuff.
I got to get him on. Anybody knows him, send him a note.
But it was a little shaky there financially for a while. And, you know, the old department stores. I mean, things change and things fall into disrepair. Harbor Place is a great example. Where I worked for all those years, the Baltimore Sun.
I go by that corner. I still go to Young's and get Chinese food, man. That's still great.
You know, things have changed. And the pro sports teams that we have here really help and give Baltimore a major league ethos. I think that you know, without them, if they were gone, you know, it would be a lot different. It would not be.
I'm not looking to chase teams. I'm looking for teams to be fair,
right,
with the community.
Well, I don't think they're holding anyone up. I don't think they're leaving. I don't believe that for a second. I don't think Major League Baseball will do it. I just don't think it's happening.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Having done more research on where they are, but this thing's been so dysfunctional for so long, you know?
Well, they're just trying to finagle the situation to their liking is what's happening. Not under threat of departure.
Under threat of what?
We haven't signed. You know, people are, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Are you expecting this to make sense? I don't think it makes sense. You know?
John Eisenberg here to make sense of things that don't make sense. The book is Rocket Men. And last thing for you before I let you go, as we're in Parkville and there's Orioles, Brooks Robinson, thanks Brooks over here. Brooks making the play in 70 in the World Series over here. There's a Ripken jersey over here. They won 101 games, right? I mean, and they blinked in the playoffs, and it didn't go well. Man, you were the columnist in the 90s when Eisenberg, Litwin, Rosenthal, Jackman, Bill Tanton, y'all, this time of year, they're parading Roberto Alomar in or B.J. Surhoff in, or they're bringing in Jimmy Key, or they're talking to maybe signing whomever, right? It was the offseason. It was hot stove, right?
Right, free agency.
Dude, it's like cold freezer. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they don't have a leash, John. It's Thanksgiving, right? I mean,
that's the bigger story.
It should be everybody's story.
The state of the team, you know, I think is fine. Yeah, they're going to end up signing some people or I don't know what they're going to do. They might trade a couple of these prospects. They might sign some free agent. I don't know what they're going to do.
This should be the most exciting offseason of hope and promise. And they can't. They don't have a license to sell their tickets for opening day because they don't have a stadium deal to play. I mean,
right. It's all true.
This should be an offseason of promise and caravans, and we're out, and Mike Elias has a 5-year extension, and he's staying, and he's unlike everybody ever, he can live with this. He can, dude, that's the things I'm worried about now. This, because I'm kicked out, right? We got treated like garbage down in your hometown in Arlington a month ago. They tried to pull Luke's clubhouse pass away because he showed up with the, talk about black quarterbacks, show up with a ponytail radio station owner in Baltimore, you know, and you're not a real media member. Like, the way they behave, the pettiness, the Kevin Brown thing, all of that, the stadium lease, I don't wake up every day and say, how are they going to screw this up? But I do wake up every day and say, they were really awful for a long time, and if they did anything right in all of this, the Elias thing. Ben McDonald's a good hire, too. But the Mike Elias thing, if he gets as unhappy as Frank Wren once was, and you go down the list of all how unhappy Frank was, Robinson was, Roland, he just go through the list of the people that were tortured souls, let alone Mike Flanagan, who I love. If Mike Elias, he can get any job in the world, right? I mean, like, whenever his contract's up, screw the lease. If Mike Elias is no longer the GM on New Year's Eve, how about we ever know?
Yeah.
You know, I don't, he has no media contacts, there's no leak to anything, right? Rock Abaco isn't writing about any of it. Like, what do we know about him and his happiness to stick around? Because if he's not the chef, I ain't eating the food. No offense to the Pappas folks here, you know. But, right?
He's done a great job. He has. And, you know, I felt it honestly, you know, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I said, this guy, because I liked what he was doing. You know, he went into the Dominican where, you know, I went for the Baltimore Sun. It was one of those countries. You know, I went to the Dominican.
You've been to San Pedro and Macri?
Where I watched what the Orioles were doing, which was one scout driving around with rice and beans in the back of his car trying to get people, hey, you want to come play? You know, it was not a big operation. And they had to have your next book. Yeah, no. But, you had to have it. And the Orioles were playing with one hand tied behind their back. No longer. And so, you know, they've done a lot of things right there. They have really done a lot of things right. I give them great credit on the baseball side. I think they're smart. I think the Orioles are smart, you know. And so,
well, that's why the lead story to me is how long's Michael Elias here?
Yeah, that's very fair question. They've done a lot of smart things. And, you know, all these journeyman relievers that they brought in here, and they said, here's what we like about your screwball. You know, we've seen the rotation. I can't even tell you what it is exactly, but they find these guys, the CNL Perez's and all these guys that are maybe floundering in other places and say, we like something about you.
We can fix it.
And we can fix it. And it's happened a lot. Ryan O'Hearn, and it's like, ooh, you know, you see that happening over and over. There's good things happening here.
Even Santander.
For sure. Rule 5. So the Orioles are pretty sharp, and you're right. It should be the story. It should be the only story. The playoff thing, that was very disappointing. But, you know, you kind of learn, boy, it is a young team, and maybe look at what the Rangers did, and a little more veteran pitching, little more veteran pitching might be helpful. But this team's going to be good for a while, and that should be the only story.
No, man.
And it's really sad that we're dealing with this situation.
You wrote a book on the Orioles, like a real serious storytelling book of the glory era, you know, 25 years
Oral
ago.
Oral history.
Or, I mean, just an unbelievable book on the Orioles. The Orioles should be not as big as the Ravens when the Ravens are 8-3 and won number one seed. That's nice emotion, but the Orioles should be making a headline above the fold every third day here.
They should.
Doing something cool, good, awesome, off-season, news, makeup things. But, I mean, when you're run by Greg Bader and T.J. Brightman, and there's no ideas here. They've had the magic thing. They're winning. They're good.
They're good.
Turn the lights on. They should be selling skyboxes, suites. They should be in here giving tickets out for free. Come right. down and come to the game. Come down. Here's a voucher. Here's some Oriole bucks. There's a million things they could do to be engaging, and they are fighting with the government, stealing money before our very eyes, creating a mess with the parity clause, creating a mess in the legislature. Westmore seems to think this is a great idea. I don't know that it's a great idea. I don't know that the Orioles are as beloved as maybe we think they are. And then there's the, are we going to sign Henderson? Are we going to sign Rutschman? Are we going to spend any money at all? I mean, Luke's on this week talking about, like, if they were a legitimate organization, they go sign Snell. They would say, we're going to a $120 this year. We're going to bring a real pitcher in. We're signing our two superstars.
That's it. If you did three things this offseason, Snell being one, if you sign Snell and those two young guys, that's all you got to do.
You look serious.
And you are serious.
There you go.
You are serious. You put Snell in this rotation, one move.
You want to deal Kowser and Westberg and a bag of baseballs for Dylan C? I mean, you're going to have
one move.
You have to. Here's it. And I go all day with you at baseball. I can't believe we did an hour on football while I'm wearing a Warren Moon jersey. It looks pretty good. John Eisberg's here. The notion that they were very good and how good we all think they can be, but their trades need to be made. At some point, yeah. Mike Elias has to go down the hallway to Fredo and say, like Oliver Twist, more, sir. He needs money. He needs
right.
money.
Yep,
and they have not spoken to me, you, Stan Charles, Press Box, their own people, their fans, and said, here's the plan. Again, like, what's the plan for all this land you're trying to usurp? But what's the plan for the baseball team? You're going to have a $90 million payroll. You want me to buy season tickets? Sign Rutschman. Put some money in. Show me a budget. Show me that you're not as screwed up as your father, right?
Right.
Show me that something different's happening here other than we have a baseball genius. We were really bad enough to get really good players. And we have a baseball genius. I mean, like, that's where I am with them right now. Because I don't see this offseason, they should be crushing it.
Yep.
Everybody should want orange stuff under their tree.
Right.
Right? I mean, like, they're not. Because they're not well run. And this is the time where I worry
about...
The fans
deserve it. The fans deserve
they do.
It.
They
fans
do.
Fans absolutely deserve it. I have some in my family. And
how's Wick?
Good. A huge fan.
I know.
And so, you know, he does want the orange stuff. But, you know, he's right there with all this. It's like, you know, where's Snell? You know, I mean, because that's the one move that would change things. So it does need to happen. You know, it's
remember when Peter would always when the prime stake was out there on the free agent market. We're talking to him. We're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when Teixeira, right? I mean, Teixeira would never have signed here in that era, right?
Right.
It was an odious place. You weren't even in the conversation. But with the left field wall moved back, with a baseball genius.
You can get a pitcher now.
Yeah, right?
You can
I
get
mean, this
a
is why you did this.
Right.
Did you think it was going to be free? Do you think Grayson Rodriguez is going to be free if he's any good, right?
Right, right.
So
no, you're right.
They got to spend money.
Yeah, yep.
All
right. It needs to happen.
You need to spend money and get this book. Rocket Men is the book, The Black Quarterbacks Who Revolutionized Pro Football. John Eisberg as you know, sometimes he'll take on being my friend and mentor. Other times he's got a cold and wants to stay away from me. Good luck with this.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate this.
Where's your tour?
I was just in Washington last week. Going to Texas.
Why?
Where where, you know, got family, friends, readers, all that stuff. So I'm going to go down there and do that. I got a thing at the Queens Public Library in January. Enid Pratt Library in January.
Okay.
Be down there, too. So I'm
you and Jada local. And Will, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Just
right.
Just say like that, right?
Yeah, 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 sure. So plenty of stuff. Plenty of stuff going on.
So my fascination with the Houston Oilers and having this Warren Moon shirt on, and you know, I wore my Rolling Stones belt buckle today because the Stones are going on tour. So I don't collect much anymore. As a kid, I collected baseball cards, and stuff. I've talked about that with Dennis this week about Burt Jones cards and stuff like that. But the Oilers thing for me, I still have all of my Oilers stuff from the old... when I was an Oilers fan. I have trash cans, helmets, jerseys, shirts, hats, pom-poms, widgets, Christmas ornaments, stuff. You know, like a lot of
cowboy
weird...
hat, Bum Phillips cowboy.
No, I let Stephanie Stradley buy that. The big...
okay.
But there is a lovely blue belt buckle that's available
that's the
cheerleaders were going to wear. You're a Dallas guy. Is there anything you want to say about this and the defunctness of it? And there was a big to-do in Houston when they... it felt like a good idea. They're the greatest jerseys ever, ask anybody. But it felt really itchy seeing that on those players in Tennessee.
Yeah,
made me itch.
No, it was literally cool to see. But the story behind it was, I don't know, yes.
They wrapped everything in Oilers on this field.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was really hokey-pokey.
Yeah, yeah, the people from Houston, I know a lot of them, I felt really badly. I mean, it's a great history down there, the Oilers. I mean, they were incredible.
A thing.
They were definitely a thing, and had a great tradition there, and I just kind of hate to see the fans caught in the middle like that. That's tough. Tough to see. The Dallas-Houston thing, I mean, I've been writing a lot of football history, some of these books, great affinity for a lot of this AFL stuff and these AFL teams.
Dallas won that battle.
And you think? you think, but
Houston
listen.
Has the Oilers, the
right.
greatest football team.
But every time I look at the Kansas City Chiefs,
goal to goal.
That's the Dallas Texans.
That is
the
Lamar.
Dallas
that's
Texans.
Lamar, all money.
Top of the heap in professional
that's
football.
That's all money.
That is.
That's all.
Oilers
money.
Were the same.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Anything gives me a chance to wear this, you know, I'm all for it. I had Pastorini on the show about 8 weeks ago. I got to wear my Pastorini jersey. I don't have an Earl Campbell one, but I am. That's how I found this one. I found it good and cheap out on the interwebs. I'm looking
Earl.
For a starter oiler jacket from the old days, one of the satiny, you know, love you blue era.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, it's that color. It's very sweet. I mean, that is, it just...
this sweet thread, man.
It is.
Lansdowne High School, I was always jealous, but don't tell anybody in Dundalk. John Eisenberg's here. It's all brought to you by friends at the Maryland Lottery. I got Raven Scratch-Offs. We are at Pappas in Parkville. We've had at least one $2 winner. I think when the people win $100, they don't tell me about it, you know? But when they win $2, they only won $2. I'm like, well, you know, tip Jenno here. She's doing a good job. Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, the way to find them, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Good luck with the book, man. I love
all right,
you.
Thank you.
Stay
thank
healthy,
you.
All right?
Thank you. Happy holidays to you.
You know, I want to be standing next to you on Pratt Street for that Oriole World Series parade. You
all
know
right.
what I mean?
All right.
I want to see Wick with that smile on his face like he's 8 years old.
Yeah, it will.
And you just signed him up for Little League at Stone League. You know what I mean?
It will. He will. He will have that smile. So.
And my kid's 39. He's just, it's passed him by. You know what I mean?
Well, Mike, no, I got two of them in there. They are in for it.
So I traveled the web looking at Oilers. I never buy Oilers stuff except when I really want it. I buy belt buckles. I look at Louis Aparicio stuff to see if there's anything weird, old cards I don't have, bazooka stuff in the 60s and whatnot. But I was looking up Louis Aparicio stuff and jerseys, and I really wanted a sweet gray Chicago White Sox late 60s, you know, throwback. And this orange Aparicio 11 jersey showed up in my size. From the 80s, it's made of polyester. It's not a modern. Someone made it as a throwback. I don't know that it was ever on Louis' back, but I'm like, it looks like the electric Rick Dempsey 83 Orioles that you got the Baltimore with the script. It's so not appropriate to his era, but I had to buy it. So I'm in on the Oriole magic. You know what I mean?
You're there. You
I have a
there.
Jersey to wear now.
You got an Aparicio?
For the next, like, 10 years, I'm ready to go. Fits me.
Yeah, I mean, everybody went fallow, you know, didn't have any of that stuff. My only T-shirt was, like, Vlad Guerrero. So, so I had to
upgrade. I had an Albert Bell for a minute.
Yeah, I had to upgrade. I'm working on it.
It was too big for me. All right, John Eisenberg's out of the building. Steve Pappas coming by. We're going to talk about Pappas and crab cakes. And my first time here in Parkville, which... It still feels like the same spot, which I love about it. It's a little old school. We're at the bar. Come on over Taylor Avenue and say hello to the folks. Also, Pappas up in Cockeysville, Bel Air, Glen Burnie. We've done the show in all those places. And my dude Christian Horton's going to come by. I'm going to want to leave the set with my 5-9 predictions at Hollywood Casino. Taking the Crab Cake Tour next week. We're going to be at Coco's on Wednesday. We're going to be at Gertrude's at the BMA with our former colleague Dan Rodericks on Thursday. And then on Friday up at Hollywood Casino in Perryville with Tom Kelso, getting answers from a guy who has a lot of answers and a lot to say. I hope everybody listens to our Stadium for Dummies and knows where all this money's going. I'm Nestor. We are WNST. Back for more with my gavel from Pappas in Parkville. Stay with us.